Welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. And today we're going to talk about the long-awaited sequel, Coming to America, or Coming to America 2. The movie is directed by Craig Brewer and John Landis, and it stars Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall, and Shari Hitley, and a cast of other people, Leslie Jones, Tracy Morgan, Kiki Lane. Wesley Snipes is also in the movie. Nino Brown has to be somewhere. Synopsis is, the African monarch Akeem learns that he has a long-lost son in the United States and he must return to America to meet this unexpected heir and build up a relationship with the son. So the movie starts off more senior Akeem. And his father, James Earl Jones, is on the verge of dying. Right before he dies, James Earl Jones says, I want to have a party. And the party dies. But nevertheless, before all that happens, he finds out that he has a son that he couldn't remember that he had living in America, and he tried to have a better relationship than he had with his father. Matt, how do you feel about Coming to America?
Straight trash. I don't even know why they even decided to come out with this movie. It's kind of like that downloaded content that no one ever asked about, and then when you do download it, come to find out, it's just the same characters with different costumes and the same themes. They never did anything to advance the series. The first movie was a cult classic.
It is.
Bottom line, I mean, easily for me, one of the top five movies that have come out, especially with Eddie Murphy's impressive catalog.
Yeah.
But for them to come out with this movie and to have the same rehashed storylines, and I understand, I guess, there was some modernization of this current movie, but did anyone say if roles were reversed, and a guy date raped the chick, would this movie come out? So that doesn't make any daggone sense to me. Essentially date rape, and then now he has a kid. And that's okay. It's all right. It's fine. 30 years later, all right, let me go and pick him up. And then all of a sudden, that dude fell in love with that chick just like that? Man, this movie should not have come out. They should have left it where it is. Top Gun 2, if you're listening to me, your sequel better not be anything like this. Nothing like this at all. Anyone that watched it, I felt that I was robbed. I watched it, I think it was like on a Thursday night, and
yep.
I had to have a drink afterward because I don't know what the heck I was watching. Outside of just jam-packing everything with every single actor that they could know and try to make it worthwhile and be like, oh, it's star-studded with people who don't have any exact roles other than to show face or have songs from way back in the day catered to that particular area. Thought after X amount of years that they would have come up with something a lot stronger and better, and no, it's not. So, Eddie, if you do Golden Child 2, I'm done. I'm just straight done.
The next one is supposed to be Beverly Hills Cop. So, Beverly Hills Cop 3 was trash. And I expect the next one to follow in the same format.
The downloaded content that nobody asked for.
All right. So, Jay?
God awful. It was bad, man. There was nothing in this movie that I was like, I laughed. Like, there was not one time in this movie I laughed. Not one. Not one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it again. Not one. Damn. Time at all that I laughed in this movie. They should have just left it alone. For some reason, this had to be a cash grab movie.
Yeah.
Had to be. Because there's a lot of people here that shouldn't even been in. What the hell was Rick Ross doing in this bitch?
I want to say they used his mansion.
So what?
Okay.
All because you used someone's house. Man, they pay you for that shit. Shut the fuck up. You don't need to be in the damn movie with a horrible accent, nonetheless. And the only thing that was kind of somewhat enjoyable, was Wesley Snipes. That's it. And that wasn't that much enjoyable to me. It wasn't really that much enjoyable.
Beg the difference.
One, I don't find Leslie Jones funny at all. She's in a row with Tiffany Haddish. Not funny at all.
I agree.
I agree with Matt 100%. I mean, this is basically recycled plots just change. Like basically, so Prince Akeem, well, now King Akeem, basically became his father. Remember how he was when he was younger. to understand where his son was coming from. That was really creative writing, man. I understand you want to show women empowered, female empowerment. I get it. It makes sense. I have no problem with it. I don't like when it seems like it is just force-fed. It's just thrown into your face. You know what I'm saying? To me, that just shows that you don't have a creative way of doing it. So if you don't have a creative way of doing it, guess what? I'm going to just throw it in your face. A good way to do it, Mandalorian, the season finale, last season finale, that was perfect. It was so good to the point that no one even recognized that they were women. It wasn't made an issue. It wasn't like thrown in your face. You just recognized that they were badasses and that was it. And that's how it should be done. Like, this was basically saying, like, women can't own businesses. I can't be a ruler of Zamunda because I'm a woman. You know, they kept saying that. Okay, you say it a couple of times, but after you keep saying it, you just keep reinforcing the fact. It's like, come on, man. All right, we get it the first time you said it. The message gets lost because after a while, I'm not paying attention. So it defeats the purpose of what you were trying to do. It just wasn't funny. I feel like I wasted my time. I actually was nodding off on this thing, to be honest with you. I mean, I was not impressed. I wish they would just left it alone. Maybe Eddie Murphy should have just stuck with Dolomite because that was a good comeback movie.
Yeah.
Don't rehash some old shit.
He was supposed to be doing stand-up if coronavirus didn't destroy society. Going to go back to stand-up. And that would have been tough. Understanding his impact on comedy, he had failed. The same way that this movie's not good. I'd have been hurt. But Big Mike, how do you feel about Coming to America?
Anybody that knows me knows the original is easily one of my favorite movies of all time. Jay knows because I'm marching into the music at my wedding. Fucking Coming to America down. I fucking love that movie. When they said they were making a sequel, did not want it to happen. For the plain reason of it's been 30 years, there is absolutely no way you could ever become even come close to living up to the original. The original still holds weight. Jokes are still funny. You can cut that motherfucker on right now. I guarantee you laugh your ass off. It still works. And so I already knew the sequel is not going to live up to it. And that more than likely, from a critical standpoint, it's not going to be good. My expectations were already low. So for me, the movie actually wasn't that bad because it did exactly what I figured they were going to do. Try to pay homage or do the nostalgia move of all the old shit from 30 years. For me, I kind of liken it to Force Awakens. When I first saw that, I was on board with it because of all nostalgia shit. It was like, oh, Star Wars is back. Millennium Falcon, blah, 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 blah. And then when I watched it again later, I wasn't as high on it. I think it's not great. There were times I laughed. There were times I didn't. I get what they were trying to go for. I just don't feel like it's 100% terrible. Like I said, it did exactly what I figured it was going to do. And so, for me, it wasn't, this wasn't terrible. It was good. It wasn't great. I'm not going to watch it over and over again like I do the first one. But I could sit through it again if I wanted to. And the reason it happened is because Eddie Murphy's been trying to make this comeback. People were saying, oh, they should have done a sequel to this or whatever. But again, if you wait a certain amount of time, some things are so great, you need to leave it alone. And so, like I said, even though I'm not saying it's terrible and I'm not saying it's great, it was from the beginning. I was like, I don't think they should do a sequel. But if they're going to do it, like I said, it did exactly what I figured they were going to do, which hit all the nostalgia points for everybody and harking back to the first one. And they did with some of the jokes. You can kind of see where it was coming already, which I didn't really like because the first one, the joke seemed spontaneous. Like Jay said, some things definitely seem forced. Oh, this is what it is.
All right. So for me, earlier that day before the movie actually got officially released, some random reason, I was looking at this documentary about Godfather Part 3, which is considered to be a bad movie. The greatness that is Godfather and Godfather Part 2. Those movies are masterpieces. Regardless of how many times I've seen it, I find something different about that movie. The big thing about Godfather Part 2 and Godfather Part 3 was just the amount of time that elapsed in between that. This movie just did not need to be made. It was something that people had hyped themselves up to really think, wouldn't it be great if? Sometimes that if needs not to happen. A lot of things now has to be, we either remake a movie or we bring back the original cast and do this new age, younger crowd movie plus with the old people that you're familiar with. That's fine, but not this movie. There's no reason. Coming to America 1 wrapped up. It was a happy ending. Go on, enjoy life. As much as I like Trading Places, I don't want to see a remake or a sequel to that movie. because the movie ended. The movie ended the way they needed to end. And this movie just did not need to be made. There was a point, maybe, I guess when they do the de-aging, I was like, hey, that looks good. If that whole movie had of been that, like they went back in time and de-aged them, that was the whole movie leading up to something, maybe that might have been okay. On top of that, the writing is bad, the jokes don't hit, and the people that wrote this, I think it's Kenya Barris, he does Black-ish. I don't really watch that show. I don't think I would want to watch it considering how unfunny this movie is. Another person that wrote this, a person that also wrote Nutty Professor 2, Nutty Professor, Boomerang, so he has worked with Eddie Murphy before. His more recent credits ended somewhere in the 2000s. So kind of that range when Eddie Murphy was doing bad movies. The next person also has worked with Eddie Murphy, but he had also done Police Academy 2, 3, 4, 5, which I think after 4, those movies just became parodies of themselves.
They came straight to home video.
Yeah. And their credits in mid-2000s, and don't really pick up again until 2021. Next person has done a short and this movie. They either get credited with the screenplay, they get credited with the story, but either way, this movie didn't need to be made. The people that wrote this, you're very unfunny people. I mean, I know now comedy has changed a lot, like stand-up comedy has changed a lot. I mean, too, that there's more of a ghostwriting team. Which is fine. I mean, it has always existed. People generally will have other comics write material. Again, getting back to Eddie Murphy going back to stand-up. His stand-up, the time period when he was hot, that stuff is fire. Still funny today. I can watch it over and over again. Kind of the same thing with like Martin Lawrence, Chris Tucker. Like stand-up from their heyday is great. Seeing Eddie Murphy now, Arsenio Hall, it hurt. And it hurt for this movie not to be good. I was disappointed maybe 20 minutes into the movie. And then I looked up. I was like, well, it's an hour and a half. All right, let's go and finish this.
Yeah, let's push through. That's what I felt. Yeah, just push through. Just push through. You could do it. Maybe it's going to get better. I thought about that. I thought about what you just said. Comedy has changed so much. My taste in comedy may be considered old school. There are a lot of people that like this movie.
Because they're trading off the older movie. But go ahead.
They like this movie better than the original, and they didn't like the original.
How?
Things are subjective. What I find funny, you may not find funny. Because you got to think about it. Do you actually think, let's be real here, do you think Kevin Hart would be hot back in the day?
He could be. He wouldn't be Richard Pryor level. He wouldn't be
the level he is now.
Eddie Murphy level.
Kevin Hart would have been funny back then. Kevin Hart now is not funny to me.
Kevin Hart, he had a very kind of small moment.
You saying those back to back, I tell people to this day, I still watch those and laugh. I'm like, fucking hilarious. And then they switched up or what, but he didn't seem to be as raw nor as funny to me. I don't know. It's almost like he watered himself down a bit.
It's like, hey, I'm short.
Like, this movie to me would have been better if it was rated R, because I feel like they could have gone with the comedy a lot harder than what they did. Because I also factored in the fact it was PG-13. And I could tell, because it seemed like certain jokes that should have went one way.
They turned it into a family movie.
And I was like,
exactly. This could have been on the Hallmark Channel for all I care.
Everybody wants Eddie to do greatness again. And like the reason why everybody's in the movie is because everybody credits Eddie with, we wouldn't be able to do what we do if it wasn't for him. Because if you didn't credit Richard, easily everybody goes Eddie. Like, Eddie's the reason why we can do what we do. So just the opportunity even for a screen with him, everybody jumps in, well, I got to be in the movie or we got to put people in it sort of thing.
But yeah, because I would just say, sorry about the Richard Pryor thing. I would probably say like Dick Gregory, Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, and kind of like leading up to that would have been Eddie Murphy. Go ahead.
Right, and everybody credits Eddie with being like the first rock star, so to speak. His status is so big now, I don't see how he could ever live up to what he did back in the day. Like Barry said, Delirious is still hands down one of the funniest fucking stand-ups ever created. Like, that shit is still hilarious to this day. Jokes hold weight and everything. 30 years later, your shit still holds up. to me, it's virtually impossible for you to come anywhere near doing that again. With this climate, the way everything's like, you got to ride this thin line, unless you want to be hardcore like you were, you just need to leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
I said from day one, I didn't think this movie was going to be great. I just knew it. I feel like 30 years too late. No. I said, but if they do it, I'm going to take it for what it is. If I laugh a few times, I'm good. So that's why I said I'm not saying it's terrible. But if anybody sits here and tells you it's better than the first one, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
I mean, this is kind of like Vampire in Brooklyn. Okay.
Which I laugh my ass off Vampire in Brooklyn. He's got moments in that one. I'm like,
yeah.
And he's still fucking hilarious.
He had moments in that one. This one, there were no moments. Sat there in complete silence.
And I think that's part of the problem with Eddie is he's gone so family friendly. And that was the thing that people asked about for years. I remember they asked his brother one time, like, no, Eddie's still Eddie. But from a film standpoint, he rides this very thin line of, I got this family friendly image now where he done never go back to the old shit. And people want him to go back to the old so bad. And
you can't.
I think people need to come to the realization that that's probably not going to happen. If he does go on stand up tour, I would go just for the sake of saying, I saw Eddie Murphy live. But I would not expect it to be delirious or raw.
Getting back to a point that you made, you can't do Nutty Professor now because that movie just be canceled before you even get the press release out.
I didn't even think about the whole she date raped him and had his baby. And like, I wasn't thinking none of that.
I didn't think of that either.
I'm sitting there like, oh, I'm surprised it ain't like a canceled thing going already for this. Well, I'd say it's that and also because it's a black movie. I'm just going to be real. I'm sure that factors into it.
I think the last great movie that he had done might have been Dreamgirls.
I haven't seen that yet.
He was good in Dreamgirls, and then he was real disappointed because he just knew he was getting an Oscar, and they didn't give it to him.
Yeah.
If I'm not saying, he literally walked out the award show after they announced the winner. He was like, fuck it, I'm out.
All right, well, let's get some points of view from Keith. So, Keith, how do you feel about Coming to America 2 or Coming to America or Coming something?
Well, I just saw it. Like, literally, I just finished watching it, so still fresh in my head. It's not as good as the first one. The thing is, I knew that it wasn't going to be as good as the first one. I knew that going into it. Your point, and I agree with Mike's point, that it looked like it would have done much better had he gone hardcore. Had he gone the old school route, just been as crass as he wanted to be and everything. He could have kept the same premise, the same ending, and all that good stuff there. But if he'd just gone all the way with his jokes and stuff, a little more risque with the jokes and everything, it would have been better. Wasn't as impassive as James was. I mean, there were still some moments in there that I thought were pretty funny. Like the last scene with Randy Watkins, I thought that was funny. Dead serious, I thought that was fun. That was one of my favorite characters in the first one too. So,
the first movie has so many classic characters.
So I got a chuckle out of seeing them come back. But at the same time, I saw he tried to hit the same notes and tone, but he was trying to bring forth a positive message to it. And I got it. I understood. And like I said, I tried to take it for what it was. I was amused by it. It wasn't a bad film by any right. I don't think of it as a mistake for him to have done it.
It is.
I don't think it's a mistake that for him to have done it. Disappointed that it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. But it wasn't actually terrible to the point where, oh my God, you should just stay in the house.
A situation where, obviously now we're starting to talk about there might be more movies just coming direct to streaming. Uh-huh. This is a prime example of something that would be direct to streaming. I can see why Netflix passed on this movie because they were the front runners to get this because they helped get out Dolomite Is My Name. Kind of locked in that, oh, well, Netflix and Eddie Murphy are going to work together again. When they passed on it and then it went to Amazon, I was like, that's weird. So something is going on with this. And not to say that it was going to be super terrible, but Netflix not working with Dave Chappelle. It's like, yeah, something might be wrong with it. Why did that happen? Well, I wouldn't say Dave Chappelle is not funny, but maybe there's some other things going on. All right. So, Matt, what score would you give Coming to America?
I'd give it a 2 out of 10. I don't know why the heck they released it. I mean, I liked it life after it, but this didn't have to be released. A 2.
All right. Jay, what score would you give?
Maybe a 3.5. It was not funny.
Can agree with that.
It was a waste of my time. And I can say that I totally believe that all of us knew it was not going to live to the expectations at the first. But I didn't expect it to be this bad. I really did not expect it to be this bad. Not a good movie. It should have just not been made. They should have just left it alone and let people have the memory of coming to America and not have this training record of movie even exist. It would have been so much better if he did push the envelope. When I saw that this was rated PG-13, I was like, yeah, this is going to be trash. Because I believe the first one was rated R, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. It was America? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They should have kept with the same formula of keeping it rated R. But he's on this kid-friendly, family-friendly kick right now. So I don't know. I would not watch it again.
All right, Mike.
So I'm between a 6.5 and a 7. I haven't finally decided. Right now, I'm at a 6.5. I don't feel like it was completely terrible. Also, don't feel like it was great. I'm going to watch it again because I realize that sometimes I need to watch things twice, figure out how I feel about it, and to notice all the little things that I may have missed the first time watching. And again, all the nostalgia stuff. You know what I mean? I was on board with it because it just reminded me of all the shit that I loved about the first one. Not executed as well, of course, but just reminded me of it. So I'm going to watch it again. And we'll see if my score increases or decreases. But right now, I'll give it a 6.5.
Keith?
6.5 as well. Worth a watch if I'm just not doing anything again, just to kind of look at some parts. But that'd be it. I mean, it's nothing great. I don't find it terrible. It's not a horrible, bad movie. It's not as good as the first one. It did make me want to watch the first one again. But other than that, like I said, it's nothing really exciting to write home about. Aside from a few chuckles I got, that ridiculous funeral for King Jaffa Jaffur, the ending, that's about it. Got a genuine laugh out of. So I'll give it a 6.5.
I had brought up sequels that should not have been made. Does anyone remember that Carlito's Way movie that also had Puffy in it?
I remember that.
It was
a prequel.
I understand that. But that was a movie that should not have been made. Carlito's Way is an okay movie. Hip-Hop Connotations, which kind of boosted that movie, but it's an okay movie. But it is also a sequel or prequel that should not have been made. That's how I feel about this movie. There's just too many things. One, just the transition to time with comedy, the transition of time with Eddie Murphy's career. He was hungry early on, talking about 48 Hours, Trading Places, Beverly Hills Cop. He was hungry. And then he went into a very particular direction with Shrek that he was just donkeyed everybody. And then mid-2000s really did something to his career. Because that's still also that time of like Pluto Nash and 1,000 Words. And I think Tower Heist was okay. After the classic period, the rise of power, the maintaining the power, and then it just goes off a cliff at that point. And then you start getting into people like Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock class of comedians, like the one or two generations after him. It's just really difficult to see him in another movie. Because again, that Beverly Hills Cop, I guess there's supposed to be one. I think there's supposed to be something called Triplets, a sequel to Twins.
The joke. I don't think that's for real.
No, it's for real, dude. It's for real, homie. So again, that's another sequel to a movie that people don't have any affinity to, that just should not be made. And then, I mean, even with Terminator stuff, it's like, I think that's how I got to watching the thing about Godfather Part 3, because I was watching something about how Terminator just went downhill after Terminator 2. Arnold Schwarzenegger just got popular, then he just started making family movies. Eddie Murphy, no, maybe go back to stand up and just do that. I mean, if there's stand up in Corona land, but this hurt me a lot because as soon as that showed up on Amazon Prime, I was watching it. And 20 minutes later, I'm like, ooh. So I give it a 5. It had every potential. The B.O.B. made a video about Coming to America and Randy Watson just recently, last year, because the movie's still relevant, but apparently good comedy's not relevant any longer. So I don't understand. As James was saying about a certain demographic of people liking this movie, I don't see how. Elevate this movie above the first one. End of story.
Who's possibly saying that this is better than the first one?
James?
There is a group of people that actually find this movie better than the first one. I don't see how.
Oh, who the hell's that?
They actually found this funny, but they didn't like the first one. It was like, I don't understand the hype behind the first one. I said,
who the fuck said that? They weren't on Black Twitter saying that, were they?
No. Let's just say I know a couple of people in that demographic, and they said that bullshit, and I was about to slap the fuck out of them.
the fuck?
And then you really believe that. Like, I don't understand the hype behind the first Coming to America. It wasn't that good. This one was a lot better. I'm like, what are you looking at? But then, like we mentioned earlier, comedy has changed so much. You probably find Tiffany Haddish funny. They probably find Kevin Hart funny. Their opinion is null and void. Like, they will find Richard Pryor not funny. George Carlin not funny. You know
what
I'm saying?
It's kind of amazing that they find Dave Chappelle funny.
Oh, no, they don't think Dave Chappelle's funny.
So who are these people, man? I think they're trolling you, James. This is trolling.
No, no, man. They're not.
Fuck out.
They're
not.
How the hell are you going to say Dave Chappelle's not funny?
Don't fuck with my boy Dave.
Because you know why? You know why? I'm telling you. Because he's intellectual. It's intellectual comedy. And these are some dumb motherfuckers, Keith.
Bruh. Yeah, Mike is pissed off. One of the
greatest to ever fucking do it. It's so fucking hilarious.
That don't even make sense to me. Like, anyone who turns away and is still culture relevant, quitting the show at the height of his popularity, and then coming back stronger than ever. Stronger than ever. Immune to cancellation.
About Nutty Professor. And he said that he knew he was good when he ad-libbed that whole fucking stand-up scene, and he said Eddie Murphy genuinely was laughing at his jokes. He said he knew then he couldn't be fucked with, because that was like the goal. And Eddie told him, like, dude, you fucking hilarious. Even Kevin Hart and Chris Rock told a story about when Chappelle showed up. They all randomly showed up one night in New York. Questlove told a story too. He said he was on a date, got a text, and somebody was like, where the fuck are you at? Because Kevin Hart, Chris Rock, and Dave Chappelle just all walked in here and are going to do an open mic set. And Questlove said he told his date, peace. Got in the cab and rushed over there. And all three of them did sets. And Chris Rock and Kevin Hart both said, when Dave Chappelle got up there, tore up their jokes. We do not hold a hair to this motherfucker. He was so fucking hilarious. They tore this shit up.
Well, they're not saying that he's not funny. They're not saying that he's not funny, but he's not as funny as people think he is. They will put Cat Williams.
No.
No.
Who the fuck? No, I'm going to see his posts. No, James, you fucking with the dude. No, stop. All right, everybody stop. James is fucking with the dude. You go fucking with James. Who the hell said that? Who the fuck would say Cat Williams?
Talking about already, but he's not joking.
How is this possible? Who the hell thought Cat Williams is funny? No, y'all pissed me off. I was like laughing. I had tears in my eyes that Randy Watkins sings. Now y'all done kill my heart.
Yeah, tears in your eyes over that bullshit.
No, let me go ahead and watch. You know what? You I'm about to watch something funny right now.
You deserve everything I'm saying to you. If you make you angry, good. You cry over that bullshit.
Well, you want Bryce said that shit, James.
All right, so
Cat Williams, you got to be kidding. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, it's been maybe about a year since Cat Williams not had a downfall. But
no, but he did have a very good scene on Atlanta where he had one line that was fucking hysterical. And he did get an Emmy off of that too. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but all right, nevertheless, Beast Gang likes good comedy. This is somewhat comedic. That's all I can say.
That's such a good way to put it, actually.
Yeah, but we like good comedies. So, yeah. Eddie Murphy, talk to us. Beast Gang can solve your problems. I'll write some jokes for you, homie. All right, Beast Gang Podcast.